Some viewers may find the following video disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised.
It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles, it's 6 o'clock in Chicago, and 7 p.m. right here in Big Apple, New York City. Hello, everybody. I'm Mad Dog DeCipio for What's the Buzz? America's Bobcast tonight, a very special edition of For the Record. And joining me, God help me again, joining me is Amelia the Pitbull Chapman. How you doing, Amelia?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, do I even want to know? What have you been up to here lately?
Nothing, just home here, relaxing.
Well, you've been home for a couple of days. What's going on? Are you catching up on, like, you know, like cleaning and, you know, cleaning up Jeff's mess around the house and
Joseph cleaning and
the rest of the crew there, the dogs and.
Yeah, just spring cleaning, and actually, I've been unemployed now, so I've been looking for work.
Well. Do you know what? You're not going to be unemployed long. I can assure you that. Somebody with enough sense is going to call you and say, hey, Pitbull, come over here.
All right.
I'm sure you'll find something. Today was a very, very active day in the news. A lot going on today, particularly. I should tell everybody. We were going to do, Amelia and I were going to do a show tonight. We were going to bring you the case of Jack the Ripper. Because there have been new developments in the identity of Jack the Ripper. But so much news, breaking news today from the world of wrestling, particularly the Vince McMahon sex scandal, sex trafficking trial, okay?
That's just the shake my head kind of
thing. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Today, whoo. Let me tell you something. This man, you have to shake your head.
I know, that's what I was like.
Shake your head at this. Like, I read this stuff, and I'll tell everybody in a minute what I'm talking about, but because you already know, I read this stuff, and I put my hand up against my face, and I just shook my head and thought, and they think that poor people are twisted. The stuff that poor people do is bad. Wait a minute. It's 10 times up, 50 times worse with people who have money. Because people who have money have, follow me now, too many dollars and not enough cents. If
exactly.
You see what I'm putting to my head. All dollars and no cents. Okay. Right. And God help him. God love him. I hope, you know what, God, I hope you're merciful on this poor bastard. Vince McMahon. Oh, my God. Old Vinnie Mac is at it again. Let me tell everybody what happened today, in case you haven't heard. I'm laughing. Because you know what we're doing tonight. That's why I'm laughing. The courts have released, ready for this, folks. The courts have released the love letters from Janelle Grant. Yes, they released the love letters. And you are going to hear them tonight, and some of them in all their sordid detail. All right. You'll see a little video we put together, and then I'll walk you through the drudgery. I promise you I will. Oh my God. Goodness, what a mess. Anyway, so what do you think of this, Amelia? I know you know a little bit about this. You were you know, checking out the news too. So what do you think? First of all, let's go back to the beginning. What do you make this whole sort of crazy trial?
I was just surprised that, you know, it came out all of a sudden. And, you know, if these letters are either going to hurt him or help him, either way, you know.
Interesting you say that. It's really interesting you say that. Because Vince McMahon has got this uncanny way of turning chicken shit into chicken liver.
Exactly.
You know, he really does. He's got this way, and we've seen it time and time again. When back in the 90s, the late 80s, early 90s, with the steroid scandal,
yes,
he beat the federal government. He beat the government and stayed out of jail. You know, you have to be pretty damn good.
Exactly.
Now, some time goes by, and then, of course, the late Owen Hart, God rest his soul, he dies during a WWE event. Doesn't Vince come out of that smelling like a rose, too? All right.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. I don't think the Hart family cared too much for it, but he came out smelling like a peach. Now you got this sex trafficking, sex scandal, just call it what it is.
Yeah.
It's a depravity scandal. I mean, this guy, we read, God, I just shake my head. We read this, the complaint. I'm going to tell you something, folks. And I mean this. This is some sick stuff.
It is very.
This is some really, like, really over the top, sick, twisted, like, you know, kinky, like really dirty, kinky shit. You know? I mean, everybody's got a little freak to them. Okay, I get that. We all have a little freak. But this is, goes beyond freak. This goes right into the cesspool. Okay? This is in the deep part of the pool of freak. All right? This is not getting your toes wet, freak. This is I'm up to my friggin' ears in freak. And I'm liking it. Like, I'm not even going to say, because I went through this before. And it's kind of disgusting to even say this stuff. So I'm not going to, but I will say this. There were sexual acts of depravity in here that would make Caligula look like a celibate monk, to steal a movie line. Okay? And I will tell you that complaint is not for the faint of heart to read.
Right.
It was pretty brutal. Amelia, you read some of it, right?
Yeah, it's the letters too, and the complaint that she did, what she took him to court for, and I was like, why in the world would you let him do that to you? And then you have to stay in the office, and you can't go anywhere this to clean yourself
that's
up.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And
yeah.
So we'll tell everybody. Okay, so here's what happened, folks. Today, the love letters were released from the court. All right. So now, you didn't even know there were love letters, did you, folks? Well, guess what? Neither did we.
We didn't either.
There was a surprise to us, too. That's why we changed the Jack the Ripper show to the Vince McMahon show tonight.
Yes.
And
like I said, it's either going to hurt him or help him, or help her, you know, either way.
Well, and I want you to take a few minutes and give everybody, give them an education. Like, explain to them what we're talking about. I'll give you the big camera tonight.
Dude. Well, just like one of the quotes from one of the letters, the day of you makes my day begin. The tune of you, of your laugh, makes my heart sing along, is one of the quotes.
Oh, wait. And then, if I remember right now, hold on. Let me. Let me get this. Is this the one that says, oh, God, please, I hope it's the right one. Is this the one that says your ups, your lows, your brow furrows, your joys, your woes are the second nature to me now, like breathing in and out. This woman. Here we go. It says, here we go again. Draft number 24. Most people sit down, they write a love letter, you know, dear John, I love you, blah, 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 love Susie, right?
Right.
This woman went through 24 drafts to get this letter right.
Yeah.
But then again, she's a trained secretary, okay? Or well, that's what she said she was.
That's
anyway.
What she says she was, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, if she were a really a trained secretary, it wouldn't have took her 24 drafts to get it right. She'd have got it done on, like, maybe number two.
Right. And then, like, she didn't know who he was at first. And then, but immediately she was the missing piece that clicked and made her life complete.
Here's what it says. And it's funny just, you say that, because here's, I was like, it says, I didn't know, I didn't like you. I didn't like you the first day I met you, but I immediately knew that a missing piece had clicked into place the moment I saw your face.
Exactly.
I love you straightforwardly without complexity or pride. Who writes a love letter like this?
Right.
Hold on a minute. It gets better. I want people to, because I'm in my glory right now. I'm having a ball.
Go for it. Tell them.
Love you because I had no other way than this. But you are so close that when your hand, hand on my leg, you are so close that when your hand on my leg is, your hand on my leg is my hand. Your arms wrapped around me are my arms. Like what she's trying to say is we, the two of us have become one.
Come one, exactly.
Okay, so that's what we're getting at, folks. Yes. That's where she's going. I fall asleep on you. Let me tell you something. I can't even visualize somebody falling asleep on Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Okay, because that would be a creepy sight to begin.
And the sense of heaven is the very thing that I want to give back to you.
Yeah.
Here's another quote. I mean, this is just one letter from what you were telling me. This is just the one
this
letter.
This is just one.
One.
This is one letter. And guess what, folks? It's not even the whole thing.
No. How many pages did you say that per each letter there was that you were telling
me? The average, this one here is 3.5 pages. The average, and this is a short one. The average letter she wrote was between 4 and 7 pages.
Wow.
This one's right at 4. Like 3.5 pages is this one. Okay?
Wow.
We're talking about a woman who spent, I mean, you got to say this. She spent time writing letters. This is, again, it says it right here. Here we go again. Draft number 24, which is even harder to begin after we spilled our hearts to each other a few nights ago. In some ways, I wonder what's left to say after a beautiful evening like that. One night. And there's nothing else to say. And then I realized there's so much more to say to my best friend, my love, and my everything. She's talking, folks,
about Vince
follow
McMahon.
Me here. She's talking about Vincent K. McMahon. Yes, that Vince, Vince McMahon. I can't keep a straight face, man. I'm so sorry.
I know. It's hard to talk and to keep a straight face.
It's hard to keep a straight face when you... when you read this stuff, because when you realize, you think that she's talking about some young, handsome, virile guy.
Right.
She's talking about a guy that's 78 years old.
Right.
That's got a ton of fucking money and apparently all kinds of depravity to spend it on. And so, folks, you're not going to have a GoFundMe anytime soon for Janelle Grant or Vince McMahon, because she's been well compensated, I assure you. Okay, she's probably the only multi-millionaire secretary in America at the moment.
I feel like the reason that these letters were released is because they isn't he going to still be the DA is going to start to go after him, correct? That they still can go after him for this? And that's probably why they released these letters.
She's going after him with a vengeance. But I want people to know that it was not her team that got the letters released. It was Vince McMahon's lawyer that got these letters to go public.
Right, to feel sympathy for him, I guess, in a way.
If for those of you who don't know how the legal system works, okay, you've got a process during a court hearing, a trial, if you will,
right,
called discovery. And it literally is what it sounds like. It's where evidence is discovered. And you have to share that with the other team. So the prosecutor, if they discover something, they got to share it with the defense attorney. Likewise, if the defense attorney has something, he's got to share it with the prosecutor. Okay, so we understand that now. All right. So here's what happens. They come across these letters in this discovery process. And at some point when it comes up before the court, the judge make a decision on it. Well, the judge said, yeah, we can do that. We can make this public now. Because both teams, both sides, the plaintiff and the defendant, they now have a copy of these letters. So it's public now.
Right.
Now the lawyer has it. The prosecutor has it. Well, now who else is entitled to it? The public.
Everybody else is, yes.
Because it's a public trial. Mm-hmm. It's being played out in the media, for crying out loud. How much public can you get?
Exactly.
What do we got here tonight? Leon.
So this will probably be.
Leon, I love you.
Right? Not to write love letters.
Leon says, good reason not to write love.
Right? Yep. And this will be probably exhibit A or 1, 2, 3, whatever letter this one
and is. Leon Barfield is absolutely spot on. It's a great reason not to write love letters because remember something. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Absolutely.
And Amelia, why do you think, and I know you're going to give me the right answer, why do you laugh and shut up? Why do you think this whole thing went to court to begin with?
Revenge and money.
Tell me. Tell everybody.
Revenge and money, and because she wanted him to get a divorce, because she wanted to be married to him.
Because he wouldn't leave Mrs. McMahon.
Exactly. So exactly here comes the revenge card.
Mm-hmm. Of course she's playing the revenge card. What else is there? Yeah. Look, Janelle Grant's not stupid.
No, she's not.
She said, look, I laid on my back for you, son of a bitch.
And a lot more stuff.
And I got paid for it, but now you won't leave your wife. Now it's really going to cost you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she did a lot more gruesome stuff.
But she discovered just how deep Mr. McMahon's pockets really are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because Vince don't realize it. Every time he sells, and he's, by the way, he is out of stock. Mm-hmm. He sold every holding he's ever owned from the beginning. He is completely free of TKO stock, none. He owns zero. He is completely free, zero of WWE stock. He sold it all for somewhere between $6.5 and $7.5 billion with a B, folks, $1 billion.
Yes.
Between $6 and $7 billion. Okay. He's not, like I said, you're not going to have a GoFundMe anytime soon for Vince.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay? No.
Because he's got plenty of money. He'll die before that money runs out. Mm. And then everybody and their brother is going to be fighting over it.
Yeah.
Watch Paul and Shane and Stephanie watch Mrs. McMahon if she, you know, survives it. Let me tell you something. People are going to come out of the woodwork saying, I was Vince's third cousin once removed on his father's
right? Path. Yep.
You know?
They're going to be saying, excuse me, but I know him.
Everybody, they're going to, let me tell you something. You might even have some wrestlers stick their hands out for it. Don't be surprised if Billy Jack Haynes is one of them.
Yeah. You know? And say, excuse me, but I think you owed me a little bit more money.
I know, right? So this is craziness.
And then the strange thing too isn't it, they are still married, but they're not living together. Of course, no, she's in Washington.
She moved out. Linda McMahon, mm-hmm. As I read, and this is from CNN. Mrs. McMahon, Linda McMahon, who was the, she's the head of the Small Business Administration. She was appointed by Donald Trump, and she was kept on by President Biden, mm-hmm. But she's still there.
Yes.
Okay. She's the head of the Small Business Administration. The last thing she needs in that position is the headache of Vince.
Oh, absolutely. So I totally agree.
She left. She has had, they have had no contact with each other, not even through the children, not through Stephanie or Shane or the grandkids or Paul Levesque, his son-in-law, her son-in-law too. They've had no contact with Vince McMahon throughout this entire thing. He has become, for lack of a better word, Amelia, mm-hmm. he's become a pariah, untouchable. Oh, yeah. They don't want, you know, like you, it's like touching a leper. Yes. As soon as you touch a leper, you're infected.
Yes.
And that's what Vince is right now. He's a leper. He is, you can't touch him without being infected.
Right.
And Linda and Stephanie and Paul and Shane, they know that. Anybody that's close to that situation knows this guy's in deep straits, okay? He's in deep straits, and he's got a lot of explaining to do.
Oh, yes. And I know that I think the one that's taking it the hardest, even though they're not going to say anything right now, is Stephanie, because she's daddy's little girl no matter what, even though she's, you know, running. She's helping Paul run the business. But I think she's going to be taking it the hardest right now.
What is Leon says, now? I own more stock than Vince. Guess what?
You probably do.
Guess what, Leon? If you own one share of WWE stock, mm-hmm. you own more stock than Vince, because he owns zero.
Zero, not
one. He's not allowed to.
What do you get in the taking this? What's your...
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I do, because...
Boy, you opened the Pandora's box on this one. Okay. First of all, on a serious note, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Vince McMahon lawsuit came as no surprise to me when it happened, because if you are an avid follower of WWE from the early days when it was WWWF,
yes,
to WWE, if you were old enough, like myself, to see the transition from his father, from the grandfather to the father to Vince, you could see a very, very remarkable difference between the grandfather and Vince's dad and Vince, the way he handles business.
Right.
Okay. It's, it was markedly different. It was a different kind of product. In fact, Vince said it himself. No longer are we going to be good guys versus bad guys. No longer are we going to be wrestling. Wrestling is a sport. And yes, there is sport involved, but we are also entertainment. And that's where he created the term sports entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it himself. This is no longer, this is wrestling. This is entertainment, athletic entertainment. Okay. And which, if you call it athletic entertainment, guess what? You're not lying. But don't call it wrestling, because it wasn't under Vince McMahon. Is it wrestling now? Yeah.
It's starting to be.
Triple H did in 6 months what Vince couldn't do in the last 20 years. That guy did in 6 months what Vince couldn't do in 20 years. Okay?
Right.
Because he had the support of his peers. Vince did not. Everyone, Amelia, knew. They knew what Vince was, what he was about. Look, think about, that's why he hired Vince Russo.
Right.
Vince Russo was all tits and ass.
Right.
Showing butt crack.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, having Sable come out with handprints on her tits.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's all there were. Okay. She came out bare breasted with handprints on her breasts.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, those handprints belonged to her husband at the time, Mark Merrow. All right? But the woman came out basically naked on TV.
Yes.
Okay? With black handprints on her breast.
Yeah.
This is the kind of guy you're talking about. You hear me?
Yeah, it was horrible back
then. Vince Russo and Vince McMahon fucking deserve each other.
Yeah.
And I got news for you. I've had Vince Russo on my show. He's been here a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's been here twice. He's been twice. He's been three times. He's mm-hmm. been on my show. Okay? But we never talked wrestling. We never talked wrestling. We talked about the Beatles, and we talked about Tiny Tim and entertainment. We were talking about entertainment.
Wow. Okay?
We never talked wrestling the whole time, which is, I'm glad.
Right.
I'm glad we didn't talk wrestling. Because if we talked wrestling, he probably would have walked off the show. You know?
Yeah, because I know you would have set him straight because when he was on the show, wrestling was not wrestling. You were right. It was a whole total different, not wrestling at all, non-wrestling.
It wasn't wrestling, Amelia. I agree with you. It was... Vince Russo used to call it crash TV. And I often wondered what he meant by crash TV. And I understand it now. You know how when somebody gets in a car accident?
Right. Yes.
They crash into each other. What do people do? People do when there's a car accident?
They scream or it just.
No.
Die
what do people do? When I want you to tell
panic.
Me what happens. No, you're missing my whole point. Uh-huh. When people get into a fucking car accident, people stop and look.
Yeah, they stop and see what
they
people
stop
are doing.
And look. Yeah. That's crash TV. They stop and look. It's like a train wreck. You slow down to watch.
Oh, yeah. And then other people get into a car accident because they're watching the other car accident.
Now you understand the point I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
You're worth waiting for. You're a little dense sometimes, but you're worth waiting for.
Well, it happens a lot here in Florida, so we're used to it. So that's why.
Folks, she dyes her hair dark. She's really a blonde.
Probably.
You know? Yeah, I know.
It
probably.
Happens a lot here in Florida, so we're used to the car accidents here because people do.
Just feel sorry for her, folks, because she's married and she's got a son. Don't feel too sorry. She's got a beautiful daughter that just got married, but. But feel sorry for her kid and her husband. God bless her. Anyway.
I don't go out much, okay?
I want to show you a little something. Take a look at this. Watch. There's John Laurinaitis. We're going to talk about John Laurinaitis. Interesting information came out today about John Laurinaitis, too. So let's take a listen. Watch. Oh, by the way, Neil.
Oh, look at that mustache on him. Oh,
that is the ugly. I swear, that's an ugly looking mustache. There, you're looking at five WWE divas. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do they all have in common right now?
Let's see. Well, let's see. They used to be. I haven't watched wrestling very often, so you could have told me about that.
None of those women work for the company anymore.
Really?
Yeah, they've all been fired.
Fired?
When they signed complaints against Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis. They were all fired for bringing sexual allegation charges against Vince and John Laurinaitis. That's what I was trying to get out of my mouth here.
But if why would they be fired if they had complaints against him? I mean, wouldn't they?
It's easy. You give them enough money, you shut them up, and they go away. None of these women have been seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
At least 3 years. Why? Because Vince has got deep pockets and a lot of fucking money. Don't forget, the man is a legit billionaire. Okay, he's worth like somewhere between $9 and $11 billion, which is a lot of money where I come from. You know, it might not be a lot in Florida, but in New Jersey, $9 billion is a lot of scratch.
Oh, absolutely it is.
You know, but none of these girls, and they, let's be honest with them, they're young girls. I don't think there's a woman there over the age of 30.
I don't think so either. I think they were in their early 20s when they first started.
Yeah, maybe 23, 24. They're kids. They look like girls that just got out of college.
They do.
Take a look at this. Here's the question everybody wanted to know. Everybody asked this question. Who else knew? That's the question. Who else knew? And there's Vince with that pimp mustache.
Mm.
It just looks, I don't know who said to him that was a great idea. Because it's horrible.
There's,
of course, John Laurinaitis. By the way, John Laurinaitis is the brother of the late Road Warrior Animal.
Mm.
Okay?
Do you think that maybe Vince selling his stock to The Rock and making him what the power position that he is, Rock would say, okay, well, now that I have the power where I'm at, you can come in. Maybe
no.
That. No?
No.
Good. I'm glad he didn't.
No, and I'll tell you why. First of all, if he did that, it would violate every antitrust law known to man.
Good.
That's number one. Number two, it would reek of insider trading. That's number two. And the third and most important reason, the board of directors wouldn't stand for it. Mm. Remember, the board of directors is still the board of directors.
They have to have a vote with each
And they
one.
Have to, exactly. They have to vote on it. They have to vote. It doesn't just get, see, back in the day, it used to be Vince would make all the decisions.
Right.
Even with the board of directors, Vince would still make all the decisions. Don't work like that now. It doesn't work like that anymore. Because now you are answerable to the board because it's no longer WWE. It's TKO Enterprises. They own WWE. Okay. You know?
You're right, because everybody has a share vote instead of whoever had the majority share had made the final decision. I guess it's like that.
That's
now.
How it used to work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how it used to work. The only people, now it's a legit company. Remember something, WWE is a company owned by a big company.
Big company now,
it's the first time that WWE was ever owned by a company. WWE used to be its own company. They had their own buildings, their own television network. They had everything they had.
Mm-hmm.
They still have it. But now everything that they owned, hear me out, past tense, Everything that they owned is now owned by TKO. They own UFC. They own WWE. They own boxing. They own all this other stuff, all the, these combat sports, okay? Pride fighting. They own all of that. And they are major players in the sports business, you know?
Right.
And people don't get it, that these guys play above board. They play rough, but they play above board. No, nothing gets done. No move is ever made without the board of directors voting on it and the shareholders having a stake in it. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care if you own one share or a million shares. You still own part of that company. And when you do something like Vince did and betray the trust of your stockholders, then you can be, as was done, you can be removed as the chairman of the board. And they took him away from his company. He effectively, he's no longer the boss of his own company that he started. Because he did that to himself.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And just, you know, think about if his father was here, what his father would be thinking right now, rolling in his grave right now, especially.
Awful. Vince McMahon Sr. was a great guy. Everyone yes. says that. Let's watch. All right. Now, here's the letters.
Yeah.
I have in front of me, folks, I can't make this up, folks. Okay, so here's what Amelia and I wanted to bring you tonight. This is, those of you listening on radio, you're going to just, trust me, folks, it's like old-time radio. Just sit back and listen to the story. I'll go from about the third paragraph in here, Amelia. Mm-hmm. Okay? It says, true love cannot be found where it does not, where it does not exist. Nor can true love be hidden where it does exist. It's not something that you find. It's something that finds you. This is Janelle Grant wrote this, okay? I didn't like you the first time I met you, but I immediately knew that a missing piece had checked into place the moment I saw your face. I love you straightforwardly without complexity or pride. Again, I said this before, I'll say it again. Who the hell writes like that? Right? I love you because I know no other way than this. But we're so close that when your hand is on my leg, it's my hand. Your arms wrap around me are my arms. When you close your eyes at night, I fall asleep on you. This is, and again, the thought of a person falling asleep on Vince McMahon is just creepy to me. Because I know this. I've seen this guy years and years and years. Okay, I even met him twice in my life. Once when I was 14, and again when I was in my 30s. Here's the thing, and I listen to this. This is what Amelia and I both love. The thought of you makes my day begin. The tune of your laugh makes my heart sing along. Your smiles, your ups, your lows, your brow furrows. Your joys and your woes are second nature to me now, like breathing in and out. Okay? Again, folks, this is the same woman that is suing him for untold millions of dollars.
Right.
Okay. Here's the other one that was interesting. I know that you said people forget who you are. There are so few people who actually know you for the wonderful, tender, vulnerable, heart-on-your-sleeve soul that you really are. And then I stopped and I had to say to myself, okay, get a grip, Angelo. Get a grip, Mad Dog. She's talking about Vince here.
I was coming
and then it made me
And made me wonder, is she still talking about this right there?
Yeah, and it made me shudder. I thought to myself, she's talking about Vince McMahon here. It's amazing how you meet thousands of people. They come and they go, and none of them get to know you, much less touch your heart. And then you meet one person and your life is changed forever. Now, that one I had to think about, because I thought to myself, is she talking about Vince or is she talking about herself?
Right.
That's what's got me. I'm curious, because you could, if you read that, you could read that either way.
Right.
You can say to yourself, well, she's talking about Vince. And then you can look at it and go, well, maybe she's talking about herself.
Maybe she's talking about herself in that person, thinking that that's her thinking that.
Well, yeah. And that's where I was kind of going with it. But then I went back to it again and I thought, you know what? Yeah, I don't know. Cause you could really take that a couple ways.
Yeah.
Here's maybe the other one. This one really just kind of like, I had to shake my head. Most of my life I have felt alone. This is Janelle Grant, okay? The woman suing Vince. Keep in mind, folks, this is the woman who's got him in court. Most of my life I have felt alone. Even when I was in a room full of people, my relationships in general have a pattern, and I end up pushing people away before they get a chance to hurt me. Well, now that, you know, that's a human trait. We do that.
Right.
Sometimes we push people away, and sometimes we don't know when to, like, to get go away.
Right.
You know? So, and then she says, that was a toxic and lonely way to live through life, and it prevented me from finding my happiness. That was until I met you. For you, I'm willing to be vulnerable. Take a chance and tear down any wall that the actions of others may have put up. Now, that's a scary thing. Because again, this is the same woman that's got him in court for suing him for, you know, all this depravity. Well, apparently at some point he got funky with her.
Yeah, for
but she didn't run away.
In other words, she's willing to do anything that he asks.
That's exactly you reading it the same way I read it. I'm willing to do anything for you is what she said.
Exactly.
And he went, oh, now I got you right where I want you, girl. And that's exactly what, if you read it, it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be vulnerable, she says. Take a chance and tear down any wall that the actions of other people made me put up with you. I realize that with you, I realize that you never lose by loving. That's what she says, right? That's what she says.
Right.
Now, I don't know if this letter was written before all this depravity started. I don't know if it was written after. It would certainly raise my eyebrows if it was written after, because then you got to think to yourself, well, she knows what she's getting into.
She probably wrote this before she realized what she was getting into. This is probably one of the first ones.
The funny thing about it is there's no dates on it.
No, I didn't see any.
None of the letters. And that's another thing that we got to talk about when after I'm done this, because I want to spend a couple minutes talking about that. That there's no dates on any of these letters that came out, which now I don't know if the dates were removed or she didn't. Whatever she didn't do, they're not here.
They probably were removed, but maybe Vince had the sense, if he did, to write the dates that he received them. If he was smart enough to, he might have put the dates on it. If it was me, I would have wrote the dates that they were sent to me, just in case I would have needed them later on. I would have wrote the dates.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Now, this is the final page of the letter. And this comes in on a sentence. She's talking about, you know, people getting chances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she says, but this goes into the second. The second is that there are only so many chances at love, if any at all. That one is given in their lifetime. Okay, let me read this again because they got it broken down.
Right.
The second is that there are only so many chances of love, if any at all. That one is given in their lifetime. Again, I'm the luckiest person on planet Earth. I found you. And you, Vince McMahon, are, in big letters, the one. Okay? For the yesterdays and todays and the tomorrows, I can hardly wait for. Thank you, my sweet beast. She calls him my sweet beast, she says. Thank you, my sweet beast. My heart is yours always and forever. Love, Janelle. And then it says, again, I'm the luckiest person on planet Earth. I found you. And you, Vince McMahon, are the one. So she actually names him there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right.
She names him there. Now, let's talk about this because this is really important.
Right.
About which came first, the sexual depravity or the letters. I could see a case. I don't know, Amelia. I can see a case for both.
Yeah, I think. But
what's your take? You tell. From a female perspective.
Well, she fell in love with them.
Some time on this.
She fell in love with them, of course, and then they started seeing each other, and eventually they had sex. And of course, he was probably a beast with her in the bedroom, and before he started making her do all this yucky stuff, and
yeah, like bark like a dog,
probably. And so she nicknamed him her beast, you know, because maybe that's how he was in bed, and to her, he was a different person that we see, but.
Amelia, if this guy started howling and
but maybe he did this for a reason to make her into his prostitute, make her fall into his
I don't want you to go there just yet.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Are you trying to say that maybe Vince was trying to mold her into his personal sex kitten?
Yes. And not
hold
only that
thought, because that young lady,
mm-hmm.
that thought has been shared by a few people who say that that's exactly what Vince was mm-hmm. trying to do.
Because look at her, how pretty she is, how young she is. And if he could recruit her, why can't he recruit others secretly?
Well, yeah, and again, though, you know, we're not talking. I want people to see something. I'm going to show this again. Watch this. I want you to just take a look at this woman. Okay? Look at this. She's a pretty woman.
She is.
Okay? She's young. She's maybe,
what, 23, 24?
Maybe 24, 25 tops.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I think his daughter is older than she is.
He is. Stephanie's older than her, from what I remember.
And look at this man. He looks horrible.
Yeah.
He's got jet black hair, obviously dyed.
Yes.
He's got this pencil mustache. He thinks he looks like the Midnight Idol here. I don't know what gave him who said to him, hey, Vince, grow this pencil thin mustache and dye your hair jet black.
And those.
It doesn't matter that you're 80 fucking years old, you know, 78 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Dye your hair black. First of all, it looks like he's trying. OK.
Right.
There's a video floating around. I'm sure you've seen it. It's Vince McMahon and The Undertaker over in Dubai for the crown jewel when that they did. And I mean, I don't know. You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm looking at his eyes, underneath his eyes. Look at that. It looks like he doesn't even sleep at all or something like that.
No, he doesn't sleep. He only sleeps like 2 hours a night.
Mm.
Everybody says the same thing. Vince never sleeps. Mm. Well, guess what? It shows. It looks it.
Yeah, you could see it. And then I look at her and I'm like, okay, why? But I guess she doesn't see this. She sees this here, the money. That's all she sees, basically, to me.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, if you look at her, you know, now look at Vince there, and then you look at him here. And it looks like two different guys, you know? That doesn't look like the same Vince. He at least he looks rested here. He also looks like he's in better shape. His hair looks natural.
Yeah, he looks better right
but
there.
Vince here looks like he's tired. He looks like his hair is just...
His eyes are darker too, if you notice.
Well, yeah, he's got circles under his eyes.
Yeah.
He's clearly not, look at it, he's clearly not sleeping.
It looks like two different Vinces right there. Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem, like I said, the problem is he's a guy that's like, he lived his life on the edge, okay? Yeah. And you can only do that, let's be honest about it. You can only do that for so long.
Oh, absolutely. You can only do it for so long.
Yeah, Stephanie's 47, okay? Mm-hmm. This girl's maybe 25.
Yeah.
And I'm being generous.
Yes.
Because she looks like a kid.
Yeah, she does.
You know? She looks like she's old enough to be Stephanie's daughter.
Yeah.
You know? Because I know Stephanie and Triple H, I know Paul Levesque, you know, Hunter, is probably 51, maybe.
Yeah, they think they've been married for 20-something years already themselves. So, yeah, they're old enough.
Yeah, so I mean, he's been probably like 50, 51.
Yeah, they've been married.
Just a couple years younger. So they're in the ballpark, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But this girl is really young. I mean, really young. Again, you know, we're talking about a guy who's incredible career, incredible business acumen, went up in smoke, burnt down beyond recognition because of his sexual depravity, because of his bad choices, personal choices that affected his business. You know? We don't want you folks out there to make bad choices. We always want you to make the choice to listen to What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast, and For the Record, and hear us on our new station at K-Pop. Listen to this. What's the Buzz Podcast welcomes K-Pop Radio in Seoul, South Korea. Welcome aboard and welcome to the Buzz. For expert body work and collision repair, there's only one place in Clementon, New Jersey. It's Bruce's Collision Center at 114 Whitehorse Pike in Clementon, New Jersey. Call Bruce at 856-783-1475. And tell him the Mad Dog sent you from WWTF Radio, global and around the world.
Do you have sweaty balls? Or volleyball netty balls? It's time to make them ready balls. The Manscaped.com Lawnmower 3.0 will do the job and clean your knob with its patented no-nick head, so your head will function as desired. Enter promo code WrestlingFuture for a generous 20% discount. That's enter WrestlingFuture for a 20% discount. Manscaped.com and Wrestling with the Future, going balls to the walls with Manscaped.com. And the Lawnmower 3.0, your balls will thank you. And so will we.
And we are back with What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast. I am Mad Dog DeCipio, joined by Amelia the Pitbull Chapman. Well, Amelia, this was an interesting show tonight. I'm glad we did this.
I'm just surprised that these letters came out when they did. I mean, I would have thought that they would have come out from the very beginning of the
law. Well, you know, I did question the timing of these letters. I wonder, you see, they don't do anything accidentally. So there was clearly, I don't know the reason, but there was clearly a reason that they chose now to release these letters. It's going to be interesting to find out, like, why.
Right.
At this time, because we're, let's see, this, everything broke in January, right, with this case?
Exactly, in January. This is,
you may as well say this is May.
May, right.
Because it's going to be May in a couple days anyway. So you're talking about 5 months. Why did it take, well, you know, 5 months for the letters to come? Well, I think I answered part of that earlier. You have to go through discovery. Right. Okay, so let's just assume that they just found these letters, let's say, in the last couple of weeks, right? Okay. Right. So they let them out. You know, everybody, you know, each side gets notified, okay, we got these new, these love letters popped up, blah, blah, blah. All right. So now they're available. All right, but why now? I wonder what would, you know, why would you think, like, use your inquiring mind here.
I think, I mean, Vince McMahon, I mean, if he wanted to retaliate, he should have done it from the very beginning instead of waiting so long for these letters to come out. And if this letter is like this, I can just imagine how worse the other letters are. You know, are they more intimate? Are they more or less intimate? I can't wait to see what the other letters come out.
See, you have to, first of all, don't wish too much.
No, I'm just wondering.
I'm wishing too much at one time here because, first of all, I'm already a diabetic and I can't handle any more of that sugary shit.
Oh, I know.
Because that's, if this is a woman that hated him, I'll tell you what, you can't tell from that stuff.
No, you can't.
She was pouring it on pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. What, 24th draft, something like that?
Yeah, my sugar went up like 30 points reading that paper. That's crazy. Anyway, so I'm what surprised, are we coming up? Tell everybody.
I'm surprised that she didn't have any romantic music playing in the background while she was writing those letters. You never know.
You know what? When she was writing them, she probably did.
She probably did.
What do we got coming up?
Tomorrow, we decided to go ahead and talk about Jack the Ripper, but we're going to also talk about H.H. Holmes. Go ahead and put the two together so that Absolutely. Way we can talk about that.
What's and coming up Wednesday?
After that, we're going to talk about the BTK killer as well.
Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. He's in the news again.
Yeah.
What did he do now? You'll find out Wednesday.
Absolutely. And then you got a full day on Monday, May 6th.
I do. I got two shows. I have a daytime show with Rita Gigante. She is the daughter of a reputed, I have to say reputed because, you know, they get pissy if you don't say that. Right. Reputed mob boss, Vincent the Chin Gigante. They called him the Odd Father. Mm-hmm. They called him the Loony Don. This is the guy that ran the New York Mafia from his bathrobe, walking around the block of his neighborhood.
Yeah, just walking around the block like this is nothing.
A strange guy. We're going to talk a little bit, not a whole lot. Because, look, this, the case of Vincent Gigante has been done and redone and overdone. I want to talk to Reed about her life.
Right.
Come to find out that Rita is a psychic.
Yeah. And that one is going to be it.
Will be joining me for that show.
10 a.m. Eastern time on that one.
Yes, and you'll be joining me.
And then after that, you are going to be having boys on. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we got the boys night Monday night. Then we got, what's on Tuesday? Cool. What do we got?
Well, that one for Monday night, don't forget, it's going to be Escape from Alcatraz. You're going to have some interesting guests.
Oh, I got Escape from Alcatraz with the guys that wrote the book.
Yes.
It's called Alcatraz, The Last Escape, written by Ken Widener and Michael Lynch.
Yes.
They will be my guest Monday night. Fascinating, fascinating story of Ken Widener's uncles, who were two of the guys who escaped Alcatraz. Clarence and John Anglin. They made it off the island. They were alive. So did Frank Morris make it off the island alive. How they did it, you're going to find out in great detail.
Yes.
Monday night. That's a two-hour show, folks.
Yes.
And it's to be a good show. It's going to be a long show. Going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to that. And what else we got coming up next week?
May 7th, Tuesday, Epstein, dead or alive, or is he on?
Is Jeffrey Epstein in the witness protection program? Mm-hmm. Some people are starting to talk now.
Yep.
Some people are saying, you know, maybe we know something here.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Too many rabbits.
Do you think he's in the program with tech?
Too many unanswered questions. I would say yes, because too many unanswered questions and how he supposedly died.
That's interesting you say that, too many unanswered questions. Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody's answering any questions.
Nobody's answering anything.
You mentioned Jeffrey Epstein, and everybody shuts up.
Everybody runs in all different directions. They're like,
what's going on with this guy? What's the deal with Epstein that not only do nobody wants to talk,
everybody
but they clam up so fast.
Yes.
It's crazy how fast it is. Oh, Daryl's here.
Hey, Daryl.
Daryl, I tell you what, brother, your timing sucks. I love having you here. But we go on the air at 7, brother. We're just getting ready. We're saying goodbye to everybody right now.
And then on the 8th of May, we're going to be talking about Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. We are going to explore the legacy and the impact, good and bad. Yeah, believe it or not, folks, there was actually some good that came out of Manson's craziness. For the legal system, it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Not so good for criminals.
Nope.
But we don't want to be good to criminals anyway.
No, we do not.
Anyway, I will talk in more detail about that tomorrow night. So tomorrow we have. What do we got again tomorrow night, Mel?
The H.H. Holmes.
Oh, H.H. Holmes and Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper. Mm-hmm. That quick, I forgot. Well, because, you know, I'm still thinking about this whole Epstein thing.
No, and then also with
Epstein. First of all, I'm going to show pictures. I'm going to show his cell. It's the whole thing looked staged. Looked so bad. It really did. When Michael Bodden, who you guys know who Michael Bodden is, we talked about him on the show. He is one of the premier, if not the premier, forensic pathologist in America. That this guy has worked on more cases than I even have the time to talk to you about. He's one of the very, very best in the world. He says Epstein wasn't hung. He didn't hang. Somebody killed him. That's what he said. He said the body, he didn't say Epstein. He said the body looked like it was purposely murdered.
Right.
Okay. It's interesting he said that because he didn't say Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. He says the body was killed, which leads me to my photo that I will show you that is not Jeffrey Epstein. Everybody says, well, that's got to be Jeffrey Epstein. Not so fast, folks. Wait till you see this stuff when I'm going to present to you. Anyway, but we got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, and then whenever you say a certain person has passed away, you say that person's name, not the body. When a particular person passes away or gets killed or murdered or whatever, you say
Dean
that
says, Dean really says, sorry. No, don't be sorry, brother. Just be here at 7 o'clock and not 8.
I guess
8 o'clock, we're going home.
Yeah, I guess he's on central time probably.
Yeah, exactly. Daryl, what time zone are you in? Are you on the East Coast? Or are you in a central time zone? I'll tell you what time. To be here. So when you get a chance, tell me what time.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that, Amelia.
Of course.
Because I want to say goodnight to everybody. Oh, so listen. Four.
Oh, he's in California.
Oh, that's why. Oh, yeah, you, brother. when I listen to me at the beginning of the show, I say it's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 4 o'clock. You got to watch us and listen to us. It's 4 o'clock in LA.
4 o'clock your time.
It's 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 Central, 7 Eastern. All right. That's why I give everybody Pacific Coast, LA, 4 o'clock. Chicago, right in the middle of the country, 6 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. New York, 7 p.m. And in Helsinki, it's 2 a.m.
All right.
Just in case you want to know.
And if you're in Japan, it's 10 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, folks, listen. For Amelia the Pitbull Chapman, for myself, the Mad Dog, we will see you tomorrow night on America's Best Podcast. What's the buzz? Tomorrow night, folks. Bye-bye.